Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. David, we've had...
by the bridge.
Yeah, and you know, we've had some specials that have kept us away from our normal show here for a while. And, you know, honestly, I love it when we have guests because they bring a fresh perspective to everything. But today... we're back to normal, and we're going to tell people that even though you see all those California wildfires and you're feeling for them and all that, and yes, we all do, and yes, we'll pray for them here in just a second, the world's got a lot of more, they've got greater problems in the world right now than wildfires, David. There's a lot more going on than wildfires.
It's about to get funky.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to let you open us with prayer, and then we'll get to it.
All right. So we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to speak your word across the airwaves and into everybody's hearts worldwide. We thank you, Father, that the final jubilee is impressing upon us right now. And we thank you for the ability to speak your word and lead those who are seeking your face in this world of chaos to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, in fairness, I guess, for everybody out there, I've got a feeling that probably, David, a lot of people are getting tired of the California wildfire story by this point. But
there's a bunch of them out there. I mean, it's sad. You know, one of our friends we've even had in the show lives out there, L.A. Marzulli.
Yeah.
And this is his second time around. Now, he was wise. The last time they fried his house completely, so he built this new house. He actually went back to the same place. He's like, I can't leave here. This is my home, no matter what they do to me. So he built it completely out of fireproof materials, like you know, the specific blocks that don't burn, and he protected all his stuff. So that was all protected in his house. But we all know the conspiracy theories / facts that are out there and what they're doing. You know, just coincidentally, it's right there where they want to put in smart cities to show off to the world in the 2028 Olympics.
Yeah,
isn't that something? Oh, look at that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you know, Trump's not even in office, and Newsom is crying that he's not down here visiting. It's like, no, you have a president, remember? Oh, we don't want him down here. Okay, so we see how that works. It's just a freak show with all those people.
Well,
and all that DEI. Everyone heard about all the DEI with the fire department and how they defunded them amount of millions of dollars.
Yeah, the fire chief there in L.A. County is a DEI hire.
Yeah. Spent all their money on that stuff.
But look at this one, David. This is from Sean McGuire from Sequoia Capital. Now, he's claiming sources from within the LAPD say that a Chilean criminal syndicate is the one that's responsible for these fires in California, purposely to stir chaos in the United States. Said it's known for ages by American police departments that only one gang uses Chilean passports to enter the U.S. I'm not going to attempt the name of this thing, but it's a criminal gang with ties to Venezuelan military intelligence, the SEBIN. And he says that there are gangs in L.A. that are deliberately starting these fires so that people evacuate. Then they can rob their homes. And this is happening at a large scale, at least 100 robbers. And I can tell you that other reports I'm showing do seem to validate this, in that there are a lot of roving gangs going into these areas. Right as they call for the evacuation, they're coming in on bikes, and they go to these houses, and they get stuff out of there really quick and move on. And I know they've made some arrests out in L.A., but anyway, what do you think about this story? Do you think it's accurate?
Well, we all know about Hamas and Hezbollah, and we all know that they're the pawns that are used by Iran and the Prince of Persia to go in and do this stuff. So the Prince of Persia wants to destroy Israel. So what they do is they use these other pawns and they send them in as a disguise and a distraction and the pawns to get eaten up. so they can actually do their skullduggery behind the scenes. And we have the same kind of a thing here. Yeah, that is a distinct possibility, but to put the full blame on them, no, someone else is using them as pawns, as we well know. And that would be the elites who, you know, are crying. Here they are, multimillionaires, crying that you have to send them $20 so they could fix their house.
Yeah.
And so it's the same old story. Just they put different faces on the characters over here. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, this is what I actually had planned for today's show. Mm-hmm. You can see there at the top, you got California wildfires. But then we want to get into Gaza ceasefire talks, also Christian persecution, global pestilences, true versus false Christianity. Then if you've heard of BRICS, that's that new organization headed up by Russia, similar to NATO. And anyway, BRICS is in prophecy. And then we've got mind control is actually here, and I'm going to show it to you today. And then the Russian-Ukrainian war, might as well just get that one out of the way real quick, because it's really the least, as far as I'm concerned, the least valuable to us in this at this point.
And again, another distraction.
Right, and that's really what it has become at this point. But this is showing, and by the way, if you are not watching this in visual form, please go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. Get and watch the video feed, because there's a lot to this today and every day, but today is very, very full of information that you're going to want to look at. And here it shows that that Ukraine is not joining NATO. That is Russian President Putin's main priority ahead of meeting with U.S. President-elect Trump. And from the information that I'm getting from other sources, that's exactly what Trump is going to offer to Russia, is going back to an agreement that was made during the Reagan administration that the Ukraine would not be a part of NATO. And if NATO wanted to push it, that the United States will withdraw from NATO. So what are your impressions about that one, David?
Yeah, I mean, it's here we are, the powers that be fighting to be the biggest, bestest and fastest. Mm-hmm. So I think Putin is playing his cards well, as he does in doing all this. And he's holding off right now and for, what, another week, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a smart guy. You know, I mean, you can.
Yeah, he didn't get where he is by being dumb.
Yeah. You can criticize him all you want to, but he's a smart guy. All right. Let's look at this. This is from our friend Amir, and he said, I have firsthand experience with the Palestinians, having negotiated with them in the 1990s. They show indifference to the collateral damage when we target their terrorists, as these incidents only strengthen their narrative and cause. However, what affects them most deeply is when Jews construct new homes on the land they claim. This action signifies the ultimate defeat in a conflict they began. This is central to what they describe as the Nakba, or disaster, which they have commemorated since 1948. Now, in 2025, if we move forward with building more Jewish homes in the northern Gaza and Judea and Samaria, we will write another chapter in this ongoing story. Our adversaries must understand that initiating a war involving the massacre of our elderly, the rape of our children, the burning of our children, and the kidnapping of 250 individuals will always come with a heavy price. And I'm all for it. I hope that they occupy Gaza and build it up completely and make it nothing but Jewish, because it belongs to them anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's where Samson was from. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stories come from down there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they absolutely 100% have to build on it. And that's what it is. Yeah, we got all these stupid people over here. Oh, negotiate. Oh, just get in a peace agreement. And they don't listen to peace agreements.
No.
What are you going to do? So if you're building a house on what they think is their land and you're increasing, that will tweak them 100%. And that's the right thing to do. And it's peaceful. I'm just building a house, dude. Leave me alone.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen. This one now is courtesy of Fox News. And this is our vice president. Let's listen to this one.
First of all, Steve Witkoff is a great guy. He's doing a great job over there. And I think the president, if you talk to world leaders, it's very clear that President Trump threatening Hamas and making it clear that there is going to be hell to pay is part of the reason why we've made progress on getting some hostages out. We're hopeful there's going to be a deal that's struck towards the very end of Biden's administration, maybe the last day or two. But regardless of when that deal is struck, it will be because people are terrified that there are going to be consequences for Hamas. Now, what does that look like? I think, number one, it means enabling the Israelis to knock out the final couple of battalions of Hamas and their leadership. It means very aggressive sanctions and financial penalties on those who are supporting terrorist organizations in the Middle East. It means actually doing the job of American leadership, which Donald Trump did very well for 4 years.
Yeah, which he did before. So I agree with every bit of that. What do you think?
I think two things. That he should keep that beard because he looks goofy without it. So, yeah, just definitely keep that beard. And number two is the it's just ironic that Carter has just passed away. And now there's this a focus on him and, you know, the flags of half staff and whatnot, because the same situation is going to happen. You had Carter and the Iranian hostages over there. OK, and now we have a mirror type of image here. We got a pattern prophecy where the same thing's going to happen, where this weak, feckless president's going to come out and watch the day before the inauguration. Let's look to see if all those hostages are released. That's what I think, because they know what's coming.
You brought up a great point there with the similarity to the release of the hostages on January the 20th of 1981. Ronald Reagan was sworn in as president, and about the same time, almost identical, I mean, almost to the second, the hostages, which had been held for, what, 444 days, if I remember correctly, were released because they feared what Ronald Reagan would do.
I wonder how many days are they now? So a year, and you've got to figure that one out. I think that's somewhere around the same amount of days.
It may be really close, huh? Yeah, it may be really, really close. But I can see where the Palestinians are probably shaking in their boots, because
100%.
Biden, you know, Biden's no threat, but Trump is. He will go through, you know, he'll take care of it.
Yeah, now, and he won't ask for any permission.
Yeah, now you brought up something here that brings me to another thing I want to talk about today. And that is true Christianity versus false Christianity. And the reason that I say that you brought it up is because this includes Jimmy Carter. If you look at this, in Luke 9:26, Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Now then, this article states Jimmy Carter and celebrities. My friends, lately I've seen an inordinate number of people who claim to be Christian. Everything from President Jimmy Carter to Kanye West to a plethora of preachers and innumerable others. Yet, as you study the real beliefs of them with any Bible understanding, you can see that they are Christian in name only. They all hold a very common ideology. They profess Christ, but deny him being the only way. They quote the Bible, but deny the infallibility of it. On we go. They adhere to a secular humanism doctrine and deny the absolutes that the Word of God calls us to live by. They deny marriage as defined in the Bible. They deny that life begins at conception. They adhere to the heresy that God is everyone's father, yet Jesus told the Pharisees that they were of their father, the devil, that in John 8:44. And this article makes it really clear. It says, these people are not Christian. Finally, So I submit to you, is it any wonder that Jesus shares what I believe is one of, if not the most frightening day that will ever exist, when he said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My friends, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's John 14:15. So the only way to get into heaven is to love Jesus, and that requires not being rebellious, disobedient, and choosing your own gospel. I think that is some pretty powerful stuff there, Mr. Paxton. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely is the statement of today. And it's a, you know, he clearly said that with the parable of the tares. The enemy came in and sowed in among the tares. And a lot of people think if they join the club, you know, they got an in. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it works. It's, you know, relationship with the owner of the house. You know, you come to the house and say, hey, you have to let me in because I said this once. No, I don't even know who you are.
Right.
And that's pretty much what he's saying. And so how do we know? Well, we can get an idea. We're supposed to be fruit inspectors. Mm-hmm. Okay, not judges yet. That's at the judgment throne, because people, they have to die first and then the judgment. But right now we can be fruit inspectors, and like you said, all the different celebrities check the fruit. You know, mm-hmm. Do they say, if John clearly says that you have to say that Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And if anyone says Jesus has not come in the flesh, he is not of God. He's the Antichrist.
Right.
And the Antichrist, what does he do? Does he come with all the horns? Oh, look how evil I am. No, he comes pretending to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He comes as an angel of light. He comes, yeah, you know, preaching, oh, look at these good things. I mean, even so far as all these doctrines, like, you know, your best life now. Dude, if this is my best life now, I got problems. Okay. Because when I get to the new millennium, I expect it to be much better than now. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want the best life now. So,
well, a preacher, again, I always give Jim a free plug for Oats Tribe Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, because he does teach the Word of God the way that it's intended to. He's not afraid of it. And a lot of pastors are afraid to just speak the truth, and he's not.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he always said was, when it comes to heaven and earth and hell, on top of that, is that for Christians, the earth is the closest thing to hell they will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
But for non-Christians, the earth is the closest thing to heaven that they will ever see. Now, mm-hmm. that is, you know, that's pretty dramatic, but it's also very true, in my opinion.
Yeah, sounds like a great title of a book, Between Heaven and Hell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I'll tell Jim to write a book.
Yeah, tell him. Hey, expound on that. Just give me credit for the name, that's all.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Now, another topic here, and this one is really quick, but it's also something that we've got to talk about, and that's Christian persecution. Now, here we've got a new report that reveals that over 10,000 Nigerian Christians have been slaughtered in the last 2 years. And that's, if you think, okay, well, that's Nigeria, we don't have to worry about Nigeria, it's coming to the United States sooner or later. Get ready for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be worldwide. And to the point, you know, when you see the seals starting to open up, the you know, right in the sixth seal, it is where people don't realize this. It was, you know, it wasn't until the sixth seal that you got the 144,000. And then, right after the 144,000, it says a great multitude from every race, language, nation, and tongue that were beheaded because of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, how long? Hey, we've been here a little bit. He says, mm-hmm. just a few more of your brothers, and then we'll come and get you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But they're singing, you know, praises to the Lord. Yeah, it's going to be, according to the statistics, you know, with the opening the seals, about half of the earth. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen anything yet.
No, nothing. Mm-hmm. I got to go back for a minute on a couple of these articles. One of them, let's go back to Vice President-elect Vance. He has clarified the implication of Trump's threat to unleash hell in the Middle East if the Gaza hostages are not freed before he takes office. And a couple of the points that he made is that the Trump administration will be allowing Israel to eliminate Hamas's remaining two brigades in central Gaza, as well as all the leadership there, imposing several severe sanctions on nations supporting terrorist organizations in the Middle East. And one of those organizations that I don't know if is included but should be is the United Nations itself. Mm-hmm. And then he also added that Trump's threat helps to advance negotiations, potentially leading to an agreement within a day or two before he takes office, or as we discussed earlier, the day he takes office. And I'm going to say that history just may repeat itself. It may be the day off. Yeah. It just might be.
That's my vote. Yeah. Matter of fact, I got $100 on it.
Yeah. Now, our friend Amir said that he's a little bit upset at the Trump administration. I didn't include the report here, but I can summarize it. He said that the Trump administration is putting more pressure on Israel than it's putting on Hamas. So do you agree with that? Or
I wasn't really following how much pressure he's putting on anyone.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it.
Right now, I think it's just all rhetoric until mm-hmm. they take office. We'll see what happens. Because right. there was a lot of fluff last time, too, honestly, that he didn't do, mm-hmm. that he said he was going to do. But, you know, we won't talk into that. But there was a lot of stuff that he did do that he never said he was going to do.
Yeah. Well, so you know,
I think there's a lot of distraction going on, and that's on purpose. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to show my cards to you, but I'm right. going to pretend I have these.
Right. And, you know, another thing that you got to keep in mind is Amir lives there. You know, his backyard overlooks the Valley of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. So,
view.
he's got that view every day. And so, you know, and being Jewish and, you know, living through all that, you know, he's going to be looking at things in a much more macroscopic way than we are here in the United States. And post he made, he said, you know, I may offend some people that support Trump in this one, and they may thought and decide not to follow me anymore, and that's okay. You know, I mean, he was pretty
I think he's
adamant.
Just being real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's being real. I mean, you can have a friend. If I was mad at a good friend of mine, and I feel free to tell him why, mm-hmm. hey, this is what you're doing, and this ain't right.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of even, he's 100% right. He's a human being. Mm-hmm. He's not perfect.
Right, right. The other one that I didn't show earlier is this one. Mm-hmm. This is the key terms of the possible hostage and ceasefire deal. Phase one, 33 hostages released, none confirmed deceased. IDF begins staged withdrawal, keeping a Gaza security perimeter. Terrorist with life sentences released, excluding October the 7th Nakba fighters. This is to last 42 days with some IDF presence in the Philadelphia I corridor. Then phase two is talks on more hostage releases and further IDF withdrawals to start on day 16. Then security protocols for Palestinian returnees to northern Gaza. And then phase three is all hostages released. IDF withdraws fully only after their freedom. Now, I don't know. This seems kind of convoluted to me. It seems like there's a whole bunch of crap there that could go wrong. But what do you think, David?
Well, if it was me, I'd be like, we're coming in to get them. Mm-hmm. And if you get in my way, you're going to die.
Yeah, that would be mine.
This is war, and that's the way it is. There's no negotiating here mm-hmm. with them. So I don't know what that's all about. Although he's probably saying, oh, we're going to have negotiations just to appease mm-hmm. all the clowns that are out there thinking they can actually negotiate with them. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll just go in and take them all anyway. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we haven't gotten to a couple of these things yet, BRICS and also mind control. And I'm mm-hmm. glad, because that's going to take up the remainder of the show today. I'm just putting this picture up there just as a teaser, because mind control is here, and it's something that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show that you guys are not going to want to miss. It's something that you are not going to hear in the mainstream media at all, but it's something that is very, very real, and it's something that is coming in the very near future. So anyway, mm-hmm. we don't have time to get into it right now, David, so why don't you tell everybody about the Thursday evening Bible study? Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's a lot.
Anything else that you would like to talk about for the last minute and 40?
Yeah, so we always have a good time Thursday nights. We have the discipleship study. So it's not just, hey, here's a Bible study. Oh, hey, you know, look at this. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, that's great. Okay, everyone go home. No, we tear the Word apart and we ask. And we got a lot of good people on there that know the Word. They know it inside and out. They know the original. So, you know, it's not just me pontificating. We actually talk, and everybody adds their valuable insight, you know, from years and years of study. So that's always exciting to get a lot of those. They are on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And if you go to thehiddenday.com, there's a link on there, and you click on that, and then I'll see you come in, and we'll let you in the study, and we'll just have a good old time. But in the meantime, you are a sinner if you're not saved yet, and you need to repent of that. There's only one way to get to the beautiful place that God has made, and that's to do it the way God said. And here's the deal. So you reneged on the original contract, and you've sinned, and then your forefathers have sinned, but Jesus came and he paid for that. He took your place. And he says, here's this new contract. And if you come with me, I'll trade places with you. It's a big exchange. I'll go and die on a cross for you, and you can have my eternal life. And he defeated that. So you can defeat that too. Just join with him. Lord willing, we'll see you in the second half. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different: Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton in New York City. David, I failed to ask you. I had seen a report about a fire in Manhattan. Are you aware of that? And
no, when was that?
This would have been over the weekend.
I mean,
it's
every day, but
yeah, would have been over the weekend. It looked like a fairly large fire, but I was only seeing a couple of reports. It's probably just one of your, I hate to say, run of the mill daily events there, but
I didn't see anything. I mean, we went into church on Sunday, and the thing that's causing the most fire over there is they got this congestion pricing. Mm. Now there's a $9 toll just to drive in central Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, how much more liberal can you get? Really, when driving on the streets, $9. So get this, the clown that they installed as a governor of New York looks like a guy, but it dresses up like a woman. I'm not sure. Mm. We'll have to see. But anyway, she comes out, or it comes out, and says, "Well, we're saving you money because we were going to charge $14, okay, but now we're only going to charge you $9." So she's like doing us a favor. I'm only stealing $9 to drive in the city instead of $14. You should be thanking me. I mean, this is how liberals think.
Yeah.
So now there's a huge uproar, the firestorm that started. All the businesses that are below 60th Avenue they're really upset because now people aren't going to come down there and do the businesses.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see a lot of them pack up. And I mean, this is what happens with liberal cities. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. They're trying to force people into these modes. Little by little, they're closing things down, trying to get you into, it's a 15-minute city. Everything you need is within 15 minutes. You don't have to go anywhere else. And then all of a sudden, that leads to, we won't let you buy anything outside of that 15 minutes because you don't need to. Yeah. Oh, and you shouldn't be traveling out there. And it's just more and more control.
Yeah, it fits in with all the electric cars.
But I haven't heard of the fire. But I hear fire like every day.
Yeah.
Every night, as I hear the fire engines going by.
I think it probably got a lot of play because, as far as my news feeds go, because of the fact what was going on with California. Initially, I think they were thinking, okay, well, if this is a terrorist thing that's going on in California, maybe they're going to do it in New York too. How I was reading it.
Basically, I mean, it was, now I know what you're talking about. It was the Bronx, and it was a big apartment building.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was before the weekend, though. That's why I was thinking of the weekend. It's like,
okay. Well, I was thinking that it was in Manhattan, but I could be wrong on that.
Like there was a huge one in the Bronx.
Yeah. Okay.
However, the apartment buildings are so old, and a lot of them just aren't taken care of, and the electric's bad, and then it got cold, and every year someone puts one of those little heaters on.
Mm-hmm. Space heater.
And there you go. And then they just catch, whoosh, it's old dry wood.
Yeah. Okay. Now the next topic that we've got here, I'm going to put this up on screen. This is from Norway, and believe me, I'm not going to be talking about Norway. That's not. I'm just giving you an example here. But they are preparing for a potential bird flu pandemic, and so they have secured 11 million vaccines for this thing.
Didn't they just learn from what we just went through?
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy.
That? Well, Sweden, one of them said no more vaccines allowed.
Yeah, well, this is Norway, and they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health is stepping up its preparedness against bird flu and has secured an option for 11 million vaccines in the event of a pandemic. So that leads me into this one right here. This is the great pandemic is coming. Now, this is according to the ex-CDC chief, and he warns of a looming bird flu threat.
How would they possibly know?
Yeah, this report was released on the 11th of January. This is according to the Daily Signal, is taking credit for this report. Health officials in Louisiana announced on Monday that the first bird flu death in the United States, the elderly individual who had underlying medical conditions, was exposed to the virus from a backyard flock and wild birds. How they know that, I don't know. There have
That's a made-up story, too.
Yeah, there have been 66 reported cases of bird flu in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. While the risk remains low, the CDC's former director has urged Americans to take the virus seriously. This guy's name is Robert Redfield. I've seen him before. I don't know too much about him, but anyway, he led the CDC during the first Trump administration, and he spoke with the Daily Signal last year about the bird flu. He predicted bird flu, also known as H5N1, would be much more catastrophic than the COVID pandemic. I think it's going to be a bird flu pandemic. This is directly from him. You hear a lot about it. We have over 100 million chickens and turkeys infected in the United States already, but that virus likes to go in chickens and turkeys and ducks. It doesn't really know how to go into humans yet, but it has moved into 27 different mammals in the United States, including dolphins and seals and polar bears and brown bears and black bears and skunks and mice. This is getting kind of crazy at this point. Okay.
We got polar bears here.
Yeah. He says, I think people don't realize COVID is here to stay. COVID is now the third or fourth leading cause of death in America, so it's not going away. Again, this is all according to this ex-CDC guy. And, you know, now, you know what my opinion of the CDC is, David, but anyway. Okay. Now,
they threatened to set his whole family on fire if he doesn't say this.
Right.
That's what happened.
So now he goes on to say here, I'm still practicing medicine 1.5 days a week. Oh, man, that's a heck of a schedule.
Oh, good
there.
For you.
Yeah.
Practice, that's the key word.
Right. 75% of my practice now is long COVID, which is probably about anywhere from 5 to 20%. We probably have about 15 million Americans right now who are significantly debilitated from long COVID.
Yeah.
Good news, it's likely going to get better over time with them. But the bad news, it's quite a debilitating illness. He said, even so, even though they may be frustrated with COVID and the policies that went with it, I think that we need to really get aggressive in recognizing what I started saying, that the national security implications of biosecurity are substantial, and that when, and I don't think it's if, I think when bird flu learns how to go human to human, our nation and the world will go through really a catastrophic period of time that will make the COVID pandemic look like sort of a grade school. So far, we've had 888 individuals in the world since 2003 infected with what we call H5N1, which is the dominant bird flu that's going around now. There's some other viruses also. Of those 888 individuals, 52% of them died. So its mortality, whereas COVID's mortality was about 0.6%, bird flu's mortality is going to be north of 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%. It's going to be catastrophic. He says, and we can prepare by, and I've argued this, I will continue to argue it, I think that since this is such a national security threat, we should have a responsible proportional to the threat. I would propose the Department of Energy, and then most of it is private sector contractors that have antiviral drug development, that has vaccine development, that have diagnostics, that have preventive material that we can use to protect ourselves, and that can also can predict what kind of medical devices that we would need for a respiratory. Many people don't know when COVID happened, it originally was causing a lot of respiratory deaths because the original virus like to replicate in the lower lung. The current Omicron and beyond goes upper airway, throat, so we don't see the same degree of respiratory disease. But in early COVID, we had a lot of respiratory disease, and the one thing we found out right away, as did Italy, is when we didn't have enough ventilators. And so Vice President Mike Pence very rapidly went up to Ford up in Michigan and asked the Ford company if they would shut down their car lines and turn it over to make ventilators so we have ventilators. We ought to do that prospectively. We shouldn't be just sitting here saying, oh, this will never happen. It's going to happen, and we should be as prepared as possible to minimize the impact. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to wear some really high pants, okay, to step through all of the crap that he just went through there. What do you think of it?
I don't think he even believes a word of what he said. That's just ridiculous nonsense. I noticed the one thing in there that he inadvertently said is that, the COVID death rate was 0.6%. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of high. That's because of all the people they killed. Mm-hmm. Go look this one up, folks. They did not find anybody that died at home from COVID, okay? Anybody that died was in a hospital or one of the nursing homes where they were force feeding them all the drugs that didn't work and shut down their organs. Look it up.
That's
okay?
Right.
Okay. People that stayed home and fought it like a regular flu, they're fine unless there was, if they're old and they were weak to begin with, a normal flu might have knocked them out. And that's what happened. But, the average person, you just didn't find that. You didn't find going around saying, all these people are, we're finding them 3 days later in their house because it's now. They were all somewhere. It's just a bunch of hogwash. Don't listen to the fear, because the Bible clearly says it won't come near you. The plague will come and 10,000 will die at your right hand and it won't come near your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all part of the contract. So
there was one more slide on this.
Another one.
Yeah, one more. He says, and I will argue the number one thing that we need to do is to have a huge push on developing antiviral agents, vaccine, so that we have not just two that we have right now for COVID, but that we have a multiple antiviral agents that could be used that would be effective to minimize the impact of this that the virus has. Antiviral agents do two things. It can keep you alive, or it can kill you like it has everybody else, which is, according to him, killing everybody with this keep alive vaccine is a good thing. But antiviral agents can also change the infectivity of an individual, you think? So they infect less people. And antiviral can also be used, what is that word, David? How do you pronounce it?
Prophylactically.
Thank you. So that if I take it, I'm less likely to have the virus actually successfully infect me.
Yeah, they said that about the COVID ones.
Yes, they did, yeah. So we ought to
be
aggressive.
They already said that. His lie didn't work last time either.
Mm-hmm. And then the last part here, vaccines are important. But as we know from COVID, they didn't stop 1.1 million Americans from dying, all right? They did keep certain people alive, and we've saved a lot of lives, particularly the vulnerable. I've always been an advocate of vaccines for the vulnerable. I've never been an advocate for mandating vaccines. I think that was a big public health mistake, and I don't think we should advocate vaccines for people that don't have a risk for bad outcome, which is most of us under the age of 50. But if you're old like me, 73 years old tomorrow or the next day, then my life can be saved by the vaccine. And I would argue and say, no, you're ending their life if they take the vaccine. That's my personal opinion.
You didn't get a virus because you have a vaccine deficiency. Sorry, that's not how it works, okay? There's something else going on in your body that you're poisoning it. All right. And they tell you to do the exact same things that we've always known for years to do. Get out in the sun, because now your body will produce vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Get some fresh air that kills viruses. The whole idea you get the flu in the winter is because everyone stays inside and bundled up. Okay. And then you're not getting all the nutrients that you need. But you don't get it in the summer because you're all outside in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. So it angers me, actually. You know, I'd like to make fun of them, but it's actually angry because they are literally killing people with that nonsense that they're spitting out.
Yeah. I've got a nephew that died from, you know, COVID because he followed CDC procedures. That's the only reason. Otherwise, he'd still be with us today, in my opinion. No. Okay. It's time to get to this one. Okay. This is the big one. Okay. Which is, let's just throw it up here. A doctor who played a pivotal role in creating a microchip that can translate brain signals into actions has made a bold claim about the Stentrode device, suggesting it could assist approximately 1 million individuals. Neurologist Tom Oxley, at the helm of startup Synchron, believes his invention has the potential to transform the lives of those who lack the use of their arms. His assertion comes on the heels of a triumphant trial where an ALS patient afflicted by a type of motor neuron disease managed to compose a message post-implantation of a microchip despite being paralyzed in the arms. The installation of the device is a swift procedure, taking about 20 minutes, and has attracted investment from high-profile figures such as Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. The Synchron stands among other ambitious brain-computer interface projects like Elon Musk's Neuralink, which shares the goal of aiding individuals incapacitated in their limbs due to injury or illness. And there's more to this, but let me just say this right off the top here, that it sounds good. You know, that you would be able to, you know, that people that couldn't communicate in any other way, all of a sudden they're going to put something in your mind or put something in your brain, and now they can communicate, now they can have, you know, a better life and all that. But, you know, anytime you're going to have some kind of a good result, that the bad result is right there with it. I mean,
that's how they sell it. They're not going to sell you on their idea that, hey, we can control your mind if we put this in there. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, oh, look, it's saving lives. It's helping people and this and that, which might be half true, but they're using that. You know, when the devil said, hey, that fruit looks good, that was half true. Mm-hmm. It's all designed to little by little get there. Now think of this. They put all these nanobots in these vaccines. Now they're sending the scare out to get them. And these nanobots have been shown to pick up 5G signals. So, okay, now we have that. Now, this happens and that happens. So it's going to go from, oh, this is wonderful because this guy can now use his arms, to, well, this could probably heal your spleen and your liver. Oh, and it can help you to lose weight. It can help you to be healthier. And, look, it's going to make you live longer. And little by little, they're going to, you know, and all these things sound great. And there you go. Now you're stuck in this thing where they can literally control every thought you have. And there you go. You get the mark of the beast.
Yeah. Let's look at the last part of this. It says, however, the proponents of Stentron emphasize its less invasive nature compared to Neuralink, which requires drilling into the skull. The Stentrode could potentially be fitted during an outpatient visit, as reported by the Times. Nicholas Opie, a key player in the Stentron's development, revealed that patients' goals during the device's evolution in an unexpected insight, contrary to the anticipated desire for an exoskeleton. Patients expressed a more profound wish to operate a smartphone. Opie elaborated that they can go online and do their shopping and banking and communicate with their loved ones. The technology not only empowers patients to reconnect and communicate with their loved ones when injuries or disease have limited their ability to do so, but it also integrates seamlessly with smart devices. Earlier this year, a patient with ALS managed to operate an Amazon Alexa device using this tech. The patient, 64-year-old Mark, shared his enthusiasm about the system, stating, "The integration with smart technology and my BCI is something I'm really excited about." So it's kind of going with what you were saying there, David. You know, there more and more and more. And what I look at is, okay, they take this and they take CRISPR, they combine it, they make us something new, and now what we got?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then now you're not human anymore. So therefore you're unsalvageable. But can you imagine? I mean, we got the grandkids, and you know, you're trying to do a video chat with them, and they're taking it and they're pressing the buttons, you know, and it's upside down, and then all of a sudden you're in the toilet or a shopping cart somewhere on the other end of the screen. You don't know what's going on. Can you imagine one of those 2-year-old kids picking up that smartphone that's connected to grandpa and is pressing the buttons, and grandpa's all over the place? Around on the floor, falling down the stairs, you know, it throws him out the window. I mean, oh, look, watch this. Bing.
Yeah. Well, what really what gets me, David, is that, you know, they put this thing in your brain. Now they can do anything you want, right? I mean, maybe this will help you do something. Okay, I'm not going to dispute.
Well, they got to sell the dream, right?
Okay, maybe this will help them do something. But wouldn't it also open up the door for the government to say, okay, well, I'm going to control this guy and I'm going to control that guy?
Oh, 100%.
You know, here's mind control.
100% controlling it.
Mind control. You know, and as you were saying, the mark of the beast. I can see, you remember the mark of the beast coming right on the right hand and on the forehead, right? So, I don't know, mark of the beast on the forehead, in the forehead, in the brain. Well, I don't know. Does that compute?
Both of those symbolize the will. Anything on your right hand or anything on your forehead symbolizes the will.
Okay.
So we do know that the mark of the beast, if you don't want it, they cannot force you to get it. But they're trying to make this technology to force you to get it. So I think the Holy Spirit, in some way, shape, or form, will not allow it to go into your body, because some people will, you know, just, it'll just reject it. And I'm not sure how that's going to look like, but it sure is getting closer every day.
Well,
I mean, we started this with UPC codes and credit cards back in the 70s and 80s, and now here we are.
Well, you said that, you know, and you're right that, you know, they can't make you do it and make it attractive and all that stuff. But let's move it a one step further. Isn't it possible that, you know, this is something that everybody in the world, you know, how God wants you to accept him and do what you're supposed to do? Could this be the devil playing kind of the same game, in that, you know, I'm making you this great offer. You can accept it, or
you'll
can
be like
decline
God.
It. And if you decline it, I'm going to kill you. I'm just going to flat out kill you, and I'm going to put you on display. I'm going to cut your head off in public and all that stuff. But if you take it, your world is so good.
I mean,
I can see something like
that. You'll be like God, and you'll know all this cool stuff. That's how they're going to sell it. Oh, you know, it's going to heal you. You're going to live. You know, potentially we could live forever, but they have to start, you know, with a little bit.
Right.
Oh, we'll live you a few more years. Then you'll live 120 years. Then you'll live 1,000 years. Oh, you're going to live forever. And then you'll be so wise, because you could just be connected to the internet. You'll know everything, like ChatGPT. I could just go boop, and I'll know all the answers and write a whole PDF on the world history in about 3 seconds. That's what they're going to sell.
Well, now, there was a guy, and I didn't include it in today's show. Maybe I'll go back and look at it again. I just didn't have time to get it, to be honest with you. But I watched him on Fox News on Sunday night, And this guy was saying that he has developed this thing where he is going to be the first guy to live forever.
Oh.
Yeah. And okay. they showed pictures of him like 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and now. And it shows to be that he's getting younger. That's what the picture shows.
Now he's Benjamin Button and Doctor Who all rolled into one.
But anyway, I honestly turned off the report. I didn't watch the whole thing because I'm just saying, well, this is a satanic guy. You know, it's got nothing to do with anything I want to talk about. So
he forgot one key ingredient that. Yo, he has a creator.
Right,
unplug him at any moment.
He said he wanted everlasting life. Well, there is that option. There is an option for the everlasting life thing.
Tell everybody about that.
Yeah. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, what you got to understand is that things are coming to an end just like the Bible said they would. Go back and read it. Read the Bible carefully, and you'll see that Jesus Christ is giving you the opportunity to live forever, to have that everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, all you got to do is believe in him, and you will have that everlasting life. Read John 3:16, but also read John 3:17 that says if you reject him, that you're dead already. You're done already.
Okay? You're already dead.
Yeah, but... all you've got to do to receive this everlasting life, you don't have to go through all this mind control stuff or anything like that. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your Son. I know he died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in a tomb. I know he rose again on that third day, just like he said he would do. I know he saw 500 people at the same time after he was resurrected. He spent another 40 days on the earth. Now he's with you in heaven, but he promised us he's coming back for his church at the moment called the rapture, that every Christian, living and dead, will be raised. The dead first, followed by those that are still alive. We'll all meet him in the air, and we're going to heaven, and we will avoid the great tribulation, those 7 years that you don't want to be a part of. And if you will just do that, if you will ask him for forgiveness, you will receive him. The Holy Spirit will come inside of you. He'll be a part of you from then on. All you got to do is follow him. It's got to be real. David, it's got to be real, right? I'm going to let you finish it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here again, we're going to go over the contract because I want to get this into your head. Everything in the entire universe runs by contract. You know, there's DNA code in everything that grows. Okay, the plants. A strawberry plant is not going to say, you know what, I decided I'm going to be an orange today. It's just not going to work. There's a contract and it must adhere to it. That's why it's called an adhesion contract. Now because we were created in his likeness and after his likeness and in his image, basically we look like him and we act like him. We have a decision to make. He given us that. We can decide where trees and animals really can't. They're just there. But we can because we were made in his image. So that's a problem because we've decided to go our own way. So you violated that contract that we had, and that is to worship the Lord and him only. So he came back and he said, I'm going to pay for that. And he sent in the form of the Son, okay? He came to earth and died so you don't have to pay that sin contract of death. And the wages of sin is death. That's why he said that. But you can receive his contract and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you actually paid that for me. Now, I accept your wedding gift and I accept your proposal. Now I can come and live with you for all eternity. So I encourage you to do that. You know, just accept his blood contract. Say, I want to live with you forever. And I give you all the praise and glory. And then if it's real, you'll be with us in heaven. See you next time. Have a great day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.